Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Bobby Moore as a Jeff Hurst. The trailer booking and Billy Bones. A Paolo Di Canio. West Ham United. We celebrate our victories. Stick together in defeat. I'm proud of our history. West Ham United, more than just a podcast. More than just a podcast.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. This is more than just a podcast.
Podcast.
Season 13, episode 19, and the episodes keep on coming. Just three of us tonight. Johnny, where are you? What are you doing?
I'm at home talking to yous guys, doing a podcast.
Lenny Boy, Canning Town Len, where are you? What's yous doing?
I'm in the studio, and I feel awful.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I'm about to do a podcast. Yeah, I spent too long fucking walking unexpectedly out in the rain.
Oh, I'm sorry. Little bit of news. I think we've said, you know, George says, count me out for the foreseeable future. He's got life going on. And as we heard last week, Nigel is working in Weymouth for the rest of the year. And I think he's taking a little break from the podcast as well. So it's just us three, I'm afraid, for the time being. Well, certainly this year anyway. Who knows about next year? But for the rest of this year, it's just us.
Yeah.
Sorry about that.
Yeah. That was nice of you not to blame Nick Killington. I mean, you could have gone with the trend, couldn't you?
People say that about you. I won't have it. No.
Even Nick, if you're listening.
It's not you, it's me. Anywho. Let's talk about...
What is your anywho, by the way?
Other than just love you, anywho. Annoying. Yeah.
Well, mostly because it's annoying. Do you know what? It's a saying that came from like 1850.
Right.
And it just means anyhow.
So why don't you just say anyhow?
Anyhow. Because I just think it's just annoying.
It is.
Good. It served its purpose then.
Oh,
anywho. Sorry, I'll stop it. If it annoys you, I don't want to do anything to annoy you, John.
Well, it annoys the listeners, really. You should be concerned about it.
Well, I'm not getting any complaints.
Well, are you concerned?
You don't care.
Sad passing of Terry Venables in the week. They haven't really said what he was ill with. He was 80.
Long-term illness.
Could have been a West Ham player, you know.
From Dagenham.
He's from Dagenham. His parents ran a pub in Romford, and they were, where else were they? Somewhere in Barking and Chislehurst, maybe? I don't know. But 12 years ago, I bumped into him at an event, a champagne event, and I talked to him about West Ham, and I asked him, I said, well, why did you never play for West Ham? And he said that West Ham had approached him as a young teenager, and so had Chelsea. But Chelsea offered his dad a job as a scout. And that's what clinched
it. Right.
Yeah.
Oh, we didn't know that.
Oh, you already knew that, did you?
Yeah.
There was another was it Queen's Park Rangers or whatever that was in for him as well?
Sounds about right.
Was he a boyhood fan though? He didn't seem to be. He never mentioned when I spoke about him coming.
I don't think they give him a chance, really.
Well, I suppose he was only 14. He's all right, his dad. Because I don't think his dad was a. He never.
I don't think he's originally from East London. His father.
Yeah.
He might have moved over to work in the factory there, but I don't know.
He was a publican,
I can look
wasn't
it up.
He was a publican.
I can look it up. Well, if you're a publican, yeah.
Yeah. Nice guy though. Nice guy.
Shame.
Yeah, shame. Anyway, football.
Anywho,
stop it. Let's talk about football. We won. And what Woo-hoo! A glorious game it was. Away at Turf Moor. I thought, for 1 minute, when they scored, if you remember, I'll have to give an update.
I know what you're going to say. And I want to put my steward's inquiry in now, because I wanted to go for 2-1.
Yeah.
And then I went for 3-1. Just to
well, you got to win.
Appease your fucking stupid competition.
I went for 1-0 loss. Which I thought I was going
to win. You thought you were going to get.
And obviously it went the other way. What do you remember what you went for?
John got it bang on. He got 2-1.
Oh,
well,
he hasn't got another one again, has he?
Well, shocking, you know, we should listen to him.
Oh, he's running away with this competition. Another 5 points.
You can call it a competition. I don't care. You're just fucking stupid. Sean's gone. Nigel's gone. George can't ever turn up, and he's the only one in it.
Yeah. Oh, well done, John. I'm going to go back.
I'm looking forward to getting my trophy. Yeah. Well,
let's not get ahead of us.
Yeah, let's not count our chickens.
Anyway. let's start with you, John. I'm hoping you watched it.
Yeah, I did watch it. Let's start with you, Sean.
Go on.
Go on. Let's have your opinion of that game.
Well, look, I like it, John.
Oh, I like that. You've turned the table.
Yeah.
When he started with Danny Ings, we expected the worst, right?
It wasn't a surprise.
It wasn't a surprise. Look, I knew Bowen wasn't going to play. I know he said, there's a chance of him playing. He's got fluid on the knee. He might be back for the Palace game, but I knew he was going to miss at least 2 games. And I suppose he was playing mind games with Vincent Kompany. And I knew Antonio obviously wasn't going to play. I know he said 2 weeks. I think it's going to be closer to 4 weeks. So he had to do something else, and he puts on Ings. Well, we knew how that was. We knew he was going to do that, and we knew how it would end. And look, I won't sugarcoat it. It was a dreadful watch. In fact, if I remember rightly, I don't think we had a shot on target in the first half.
I did ask that question, didn't I?
You did.
Yeah.
So I think you're right. I think it was one. It was one, wasn't it? One shot in the first half.
I don't remember that, mind you.
It was. I can't remember who it was. And, you know, it got to 0-0 at half-time. Dreadful first half. It was like shit versus shit. You know, who was the worst team? Because Burnley didn't look that great, nor did West Ham. And looking at the stats, 51% Burnley, 49% West Ham. Second half, obviously not long after the second half, goal goes in with a penalty. Obviously, they got awarded an earlier penalty, which I thought would have been harsh. I know you've got different views, but I'll let you two talk about that in a minute. But they got the second penalty award, and Rodriguez made it 1-0. And I just thought, if we stay like this, this is it done. And, you know, as the game went on, you know, let's be honest, the first 80 minutes was a pretty dreadful watch. And you're thinking, this has got to be one of the worst performances away from home or this season. And I'm getting a bit bored. And I was just thinking, can I just put myself through it for the last 10 minutes, or shall I, you know, put the dinner on? And I did. I really did.
Oh, my God, Sean.
But I thought, I've got to do a podcast on Monday. What am I going to talk about if John turns the tables on me? I had put Kudos in on my fantasy league. And I thought, if he was going to do anything, he would be the one to do something special. And, you know, he did lead it, didn't he? Two special, I think, two assists in 4 minutes. You know, I'm going to give it to Mbama, Devin Mbama, even though I know it went down as an own goal from O'Shea. I think Mbama did all of the work, and I'm going to give him his debut goal.
Well, because that matters.
And kudos again. What a goal from Souček. I mean, on 91 minutes, what a goal from Souček. Just showing, you know, without his teammate Declan Rice. And I guess what I thought was, it was so un-West Ham-like to win it 2-1 in the last 10 minutes. I can't remember the last time. So from being miserable and going, this is one of the worst performances of the season, to in the last 10 minutes, absolute joy going, we snatched that one from the jaws of, you know, disaster. And I actually came away thinking, do you know what? I'm all right with that. I'm all right. I can forgive the first 80 minutes of dross for that last 10 minutes. So, you know.
John, don't ever ask him to go first again.
is that not the way you saw it, John?
Well, no, I pretty much agree. Yeah. I mean, it was an awful first half. I thought their penalty first shout was a penalty. I know you disagreed.
He moved back, you know, and I don't think there was intent there, but I guess that's subjective.
Yeah, I mean, and if it was the other way around, I'd be disappointed.
I guess
so. We just looked. We looked like a team full of internationals has come back from international duty and couldn't be asked to be there.
Yeah.
And, yeah, it wasn't a great watch at all.
I didn't think of that.
But they looked more lively. They looked more...
So I didn't see that. I thought they looked pretty shit.
They couldn't finish. They struggled to finish. They made a few opportunities and just...
Little stat attack for you while you're saying that.
Oh.
Both sides had 11 shots, 5 on target for Burnley, 3 on target for West Ham, 4 corners Burnley, 5 corners West Ham.
Efficient, don't be 2 out of 3.
Yeah.
It's quite a remarkable, it does appear that's a strong statistic, because when you're watching the game, you're wondering about Moyes ball and whether it creates enough chances. But I guess judging by the result, if you get two and they get one, you can't complain. I don't. It feels, I think your eyes sometimes might deceive you. I think it feels worse than it actually is when you look back. But fucking sitting through an hour of it, of nothing. And we're doing it all the time, you expect it.
But you can't say you weren't happy at the end. You had a little smile on your face, John. No. John, did you? You have a little cheeky smile on your face.
I was pleased.
You know he has.
You know, you're pleased.
He's picking on you, John.
It's a great goal, wasn't it? I mean, it was a great finish. Good ball.
I mean, Souček is just immense. I'm so glad he didn't leave.
I tell you, Souček's immense. Mbama made a difference, I thought. He showed, and he was more lively. He was more energetic.
It's going to be hard to drop him, isn't it?
Danny Ings just... cannot play on his own up front in our system, and you know, the sooner Moyes gets his head around that, the better. He'd be better off playing for Burnley, to be fair.
Wish you're thinking that he would do that,
but
I didn't notice if they played two up front. Did you, Burnley?
No, I didn't.
Once I was taking much notice, but
the guy who's up against Sue Fowl had his number again, and it was ruining him. I just very pleased with the result.
Yeah.
You caught up in you, really.
I mean, it's so
un-West Ham like to just, you know, usually we just give up. You know, it'll be us conceding, giving it away in the last 10 minutes. So it just didn't feel very West Ham, but you just go, wow. You know, I'd written us off with 10 minutes to go.
Do you think, this is a kind of half theory. It's something that you notice, but you don't necessarily pick up on until after, when you're seeing a result like this. I'm wondering if there's an instruction whether to not put crosses in the box until the end of the game, because crosses, you can lose possession on them and get countered. You don't see them early in the game anymore. We're quite safe, and we'll be patient and try and hit them and maybe try and build up without losing the structure. And I've often wondered, I mean, when that the goal comes in from Kudos, the second goal, you think to yourself, why didn't you do that earlier? Yeah. And likewise with the first goal going behind. It goes behind, suddenly we've got more pace, we do move up as a unit and put the crosses in. You notice it straight away.
Hmm.
So maybe looking at it, maybe in a week where Moyes has won and got fucking pelters, maybe he should get a little bit of credit for something that might be working better than we think. Although it does baffle me that he played Danny Ings.
Yeah, well, I mean,
he baffled us all, but no, we all expected it, didn't we?
Yeah,
I think, I mean, watching it, I'm sitting there, I said, it's like, you know, there was a massive Bowen-shaped hole in that team when he ain't playing.
Definitely.
You've done half noticed the lack of energy and pace.
Did you think at any time in that game when you're watching it, did you think to yourself, I only think we're going to get goals and set pieces and through Bowen? Because that's how it looked, didn't it?
Yeah, it does.
But carry on, John. Sorry, I didn't mean
I agree. It's just, you know, showing how reliant and how important Bowen is to our team now.
Yeah.
Our setup. And it's, I don't know, I mean, you said how much pelt has Moyes got after a win. I mean, I haven't seen all that. I haven't watched or listened to anything. But, you know, I just think people just need to just accept that that's what we've got. And
Except
he is the most successful manager in West Ham history.
And if we get the result... And if we get the result,
But listen, Mike, what you're doing is that you're doing the statistical thing, and like I've always said to you on the phone, you don't pick the meal you like by looking through, you know, what you're going to eat, judging by the nutritional table. Although you probably should, right, Sean.
That's exactly what you said earlier.
No, but you don't use that. You go for what you like, and you go for what works for you.
I'm not saying.
But let me just finish before I'll answer your question. But you look at the bad thing about when you keep flashing them statistics up, that keep I really hate that they all start with three, first of all, which says a lot about the club and how it's been run over the years. But you look at these names and you think yourself, and you could come up with a story for every name, thinking of a bad patch where we lost and lost and lost and lost, and knowing there was another reason not to do it. So I don't like this judging players, right? Managers, I beg your pardon. Even one responded today like, oh, it doesn't suit the Moyes out agenda, but Moyes is a bad manager agenda. And I'm like, who said Moyes is a bad manager? No one's saying he's a bad manager, and you're even proving that he's not a bad manager by the statistics. But some will say that we'll bring the money into question.
Yeah.
So you can't... this is why you shouldn't judge managers like that. But humour me, come on. As one manager said to me today, he's only won two goals behind the breath of fresh air. That is the manager of Tottenham.
So
is evil David Moyes.
I'll list three statistics.
Go on.
Outside of caretakers managers, so we're talking Terry Wesley and Trevor Brooking, David Moyes has the highest win ratio of any West Ham manager in history at 44.3%. Right. Now, the reason I did
outside
that,
of the what? What was the first
outside
point?
Outside of caretaker managers.
Okay.
So
well,
Terry Wesley.
Brooking had.
Terry Wesley played one game in Europe and won. He's got 100%. Trevor Brooking managed 14 games, won 9. He's got 64.29%, right?
Right.
And a committee in 1900 to 1901 got 53%.
They should have had
the
stand named after them, the committee.
So outside of those three anomalies, David Moyes, 228 games managed. He's 101, 44.3. Next is Billy Bonds, 237 managed. He won 104, that's 43.88. Then there's Ted Fenton, 516 games.
It's all competitions.
Yeah, all competitions.
Yeah, Ted, all right. Ted, see, there's another little story there that you dropped off.
All right,
isn't it?
I know. Yeah, I'll get to that in a minute. 516, 200. So this includes lower leagues, by the way. 214, 41.47. Charlie Painter, 483 games managed, 1,200, 41.41. Alan Pardew, right? 163 games managed, 167, 41.1. John Lyle, the great John Lyle, 779 games managed, 1,310, 39.79. Alan Kirbishley, your mate, managed 71, 128, 39.44. Sid King managed a massive 1,124 games, 439, 39.06 win ratio. Sam Allardyce, Nigel's mate, 181 games managed, 168 of them, 37.57 win rate. Lou Macari, 40 games managed, 115, 37.5. The same as Pellegrini, managed 64, 124, 37.5. Slaven Bilic, you think he did really well, and he did in the league. 110 games managed, 141, 37.27. Harry Redknapp, your mate, 326 games managed, 121, 37.12. Ron Greenwood, again, someone you think did really well. 656 games managed, in competitive games, that is, 236-1, 35.98. Avram Grant, 47 games managed, believe it or not, 15 wins, 31.91. Glenn Roeder, 86 games managed, 127 of them, and that was 31.4. Gianfranco Zola.
Sean, please.
Last
please.
One.
I know I said I'd humour you, but fucking hell.
Last one. Gianfranco Zola, managed 80, 123, 28.75. Beyond that was caretaker managers Ron Boyce, Kevin Keane, who've got zero. And by the way, board members who managed, I didn't know this, in 1961, the board managers picked the team for seven games and got 14.29%. So there you go. I know that was long, but David Moyes is the most successful. If you look at league, right, Premier League, he's only one behind, just behind Slaven Bilic. I won't go through all the figures. And if you look at Europe, he's way ahead of Europe, beating every other manager who played in Europe by leaps and bounds on win ratio. There you go. It's in the bag. There is no dispute on that, Len.
No, it's how you feel. Fuck your statistics. It's how you feel. And if someone's not happy with the way it is at the minute, I understand.
But points are, goals are fun, right? And points per game and win ratios are important. There's no.
I'm not arguing with you.
Okay, fair enough.
I'm not saying. None
did
of
you
this...
did you enjoy the first half of that game against Burnley?
Exactly.
No, I did not.
Well, there you go then.
But it's not all. It's not just an entertainment game. It's a results game. Right?
What I will say, I think there's a lot of fan bashing over the starting to play thing. I think it's a bit becoming a bit of a cliche that everyone's complaining about the style of play. Because there were moments watching that first half where I generally believed it was more about not creating chances rather than style of play. And when we do create chances a little bit earlier, I wouldn't say that's not entertaining. But we keep, I'll tell you what we keep doing as a fan base. We keep looking and comparing to old managers. You keep doing it. You've just done it in the last 10 minutes. Everyone keeps doing it. What about, if there's Twitter in John Lyle's day and Ron Greenwood this, Ron Greenwood that. You've got to start looking at your contemporaries. You've got to start comparing yourself with other clubs' managers.
You are right there, and you're right. Some people said, you've got to do it on net spend. Well, that's irrelevant, I said, because net spend would not tell you anything unless you look at every club, what they spent, what revenue had, what they spent as well.
No one likes history more than me. I've earned a pretty penny out of it. I mean, even like making the West Ham thing. Well, I love history. I love all the guys and everything. But you've got to live in the now, all right? You do when you're judging things and you're holding things up against other things. They both got to be relevant today.
I didn't know you liked history.
So you could on that basis, you could take a comparison, which I would say, if you're going to compare where we are as a club as to an improvement and whatever made, you could compare it similar to Newcastle, I would say. Now, you look at Newcastle, their spend over the... Because they only had money for 18 months, 2 years.
Mm.
But the manager's come in, he spent probably not as much as Moyes.
Yeah.
But the improvement and the continual improvement, some of the players that were bang average that have become pretty good players through a coaching and a system in place. And that's, you know, if you don't just go to the game and just watch it and whatever, but if you are more of a sort of student of the game and you're looking into it and you're concentrated on systems and you know, you can see how other teams set up and what they do, you will notice that what's happened at Newcastle is he's done a pretty good job there, and he's done it by coaching. He hasn't exorbitantly spent, and he's coached these players and made them better and bought the right, an Isaac or whatever.
Yeah.
He had a 17-year-old kid playing in a week. He was one of the best players on the pitch. You know, if you're going to do it, compare it like for like, I would say there you go. There's an ideal comparison which shows you where we are and where you could be.
Because you've got to take notice of the zeitgeist around you as well. It's just like that 70-year-old kid playing at Newcastle. Now, if this 70-year-old kid was from Birmingham and not from Newcastle, whatever, the trend is with us. We have come off the back of a cup victory. We have got more games to play. We could attract a player like that, and that could end up giving you results. And that's why you can't compare yourself to Avram Grant. I know he was awful. I could pick anyone, and then managers. I just picked Avram Grant top of my head but when you're not doing so well, when things ain't, you're not on the trend. Doesn't matter how good of a manager you are, you can't bring in that type of player, and thus you can't give other managers credit for not being in that position either. Because Moyes has already, I think he's proven himself to be a top manager in the past, open brackets, close brackets. And he has won something. And I think the criticism is expected and understandable, but not always fair. And the good thing about it is we've got another game coming Thursday.
Yeah.
Which is...
Which one? Mbama.
Just sit it out.
His odds on to start.
Would that mean that he's not going to play weekend, though?
I think he might have to play both. I mean, I've heard senior source saying, well, you know, he hasn't got a lot of choice with Antonio not available, and it very obvious that Ings is not up for it. What other choice? I mean...
Are you happy with how it's going at the moment, Sean?
I'm happy with the way it's going in the league and in Europe, but I know and the League Cup. But I know we're just one defeat. You know, if suddenly we get knocked out Europa League and the League Cup, and we drop out the top 10, it can turn to shit quite easy. That good feeling of going, do you know what? We're not worried about relegation. You know, we're not in the same situation as Everton, being docked 10 points because we've been really prudent with our financial fair play. Well done, Bald, for doing that after everyone said. No, I'm just saying, you know, after everyone going, oh, here we go, financial fair play being rolled out. Now, you know, no one's laughing now, where we're the ones
looking
pretty, going, we didn't break any rules because we followed the rules. And you said at the time, John, you said, well, it's a waste of time, this FFP, because they don't do anything. Well, they have done something now.
I don't think I did say that.
You did say that. I could find the episode, you said.
Okay, you find it. And
you said, well, what did they do with Man City then, you said at the time? What did they do with Chelsea? And the answer's nothing yet, but they did with Everton.
Are you replacing Moyes at the end of the season?
Look, Moyes frustrates me as much as anyone. But he is the most successful manager that West Ham have ever had.
No.
Right, it depends. Like I just said, right? Depends what he does, right? So here's the reason I won't answer it then. Let's say he wins Europa
League.
Because
you're a bored
student. No, hang on. Yeah. Let's you say rather, he wins. Hang on.
Go on.
You asked me to let you finish.
All right, go on then.
Let's say he wins Europa League and we're in Champions League. Does he deserve an extended contract?
Of course he does. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
We're being Europe for 4 years running and he knows how to play in Europe, right? Yep. Let's say he wins the League Cup. You know, we beat Liverpool away. Unlikely, I know, but we beat them. We win that League Cup. We end in the Conference League, Europe for 4 years running. Unfair.
Well, that doesn't sound much of a rewarding. That's a fucking hard competition to win the League Cup.
I get that. So this is why I'm being a bit coy, saying, look, Does he get a renewal just for finish top 10? Not in my opinion. Does he get a reward for getting us back in Europe for fourth year running? Damn right he does. So do something. Do something, Moyes. Don't just wither away. That's just not getting knocked out Europa League. Get knocked out the League Cup. Get knocked out the FA Cup. And just finish, I know, 12th. Then I think it's time for a new manager. If he wins one of those, the FA Cup, the League Cup, or Europa League, then I'll give him another spin at Europe next year.
So what about, right? So if we get knocked out of the League Cup, yeah, against Liverpool, we get out of Europe as soon as we hit the knockout stages.
Yeah.
Yeah. And our form in the league goes. Would you get rid of him before?
No. No. I don't think we're going down. There's so much shit this year. I don't think it makes
sense. Yeah, but would it make sense to get rid of him before and give someone
you line someone up ready for the summer and you say goodbye in May. You have that new manager. Tim Steiden's got a new manager ready to come in, literally, as he goes on his holidays. We've got a new manager in who's probably behind the scenes already doing his transfer list. That's my opinion anyway.
Are you happy with the football, Sean? Are you happy with watching West Ham?
I'm not unhappy with it.
So you're not happy?
Well, I'm not unhappy. I don't know if I've ever been happy. Beyond when we were watching Payet score those goals, I'm not sure I've ever been really that pleased and going, oh, do you know what? It's like watching Brazil. You know, we have a lot in life with watching West Ham. And part of that is to be miserable. I mean, John gets it down to a fine art, if to be fair to him. Being miserable generally.
That's just his tone, isn't it? That's harsh. Don't listen to him, John.
Oh, no, mate, I'll just say.
But you know what I'm saying? You know, we didn't start supporting West Ham to watch Brazil-like football.
I did.
Oh, really?
And we went down.
Cons, mate. Cons. You know? I mean, look.
I supported West Ham because it was enjoyable to watch.
Well, it was in the 80s, John.
When we started getting, that's what gets Coffey you.
When we watched McAvenny, yes, it
yeah,
was.
Yeah, and David Shearer and all these players.
In some ways, we came at the right time in the mid-80s.
But that's what draws you in, and that's what you sort of sign on for.
But do you know what? When we played, when we had Payet and Slaven Bilic, it was entertaining.
It was great to watch,
but that didn't last. And he got found out in the end. Which is why he got the sack. But you can't say that, you know, you can't say that they're always interesting to watch under Pellegrini and Zola and, you know.
No, but a lot of those were transitional and they're just like, you know, they weren't there very long and, you know.
But equally, I wouldn't say that every game under Moyes has been Moyes-ball. You know, and dreadful, because I've enjoyed a lot of games. And I think it makes a difference being there to watching it on TV as well. I think it looks a lot more Moyes ball on the TV than it does in person.
Maybe your mates have got everyone overexcited, Sean. Maybe it's their fault.
Over ambitions, yeah?
Yeah. World-class team, world-class
stadium. Anywho.
Champions League football.
We moved really far away from the game and we'd heard John talking about
it. Well, we spoke about it.
What did you think of the game, Len?
What
did
I
actually
think of the game?
Well, I did.
It was tough watch, somehow.
You make it to 80 minutes, or what is your paint, or...?
No, I watched the whole lot.
Yeah?
Yeah. I watched the whole lot. Pleased to see a win at the end.
Yeah.
Did you watch it again today?
I just didn't have time.
I haven't watched any replay. To be fair, I didn't watch the replay.
I wanted to, but I didn't.
I did watch the Suchet go on on Twitter, but
he's better. I mean, Souček, he is like a rush forward, isn't he? He's not bad going forward.
No,
he likes
good
getting
going
forward,
and that's what we knew before he got moved back because of Declan Rice.
It's funny because he's the most forward, other than the striker, he's the most forward player. So at times it's almost like a fake two up front, loosely speaking. But then he'll come deep and defend. He's fucking shit. I mean, he did have a fucking bad game. Let's not beat around the bush. I don't think he gives a fucking shit. He's a professional footballer.
Yeah.
He's a happy person and he scores fucking goals. So he don't give a fucking crap if he plays shit. But let's not kid ourselves that there's a reason that people want to see him replaced a lot when he drops out of form. Because sometimes he's fucking dreadful. And it's fine that we won. I don't give a fucking shit. I'm not berating people or being negative. But there's a couple of... Fucking Paqueta couldn't trip a bag of fucking cement. He was shit. And actually... Caduceus was shit until the last fucking 10 minutes, but you can see why he loses the ball because he wants to take.
They're all tired, said David.
Maybe this isn't a good game to talk about. Take the points, move on.
It'll be interesting when we play Palace, you know, and what, you know,
I'm
after
not looking
playing.
Forward to that.
Are you coming?
Probably.
John, you coming?
Probably.
Hey! Good, we'll have to meet up.
Not the ABBA bar, though.
No. Not the ABBA bar, no. We'll go somewhere else. Anywho.
question time!
Well, quick bit of news.
For whatever we got on Thursday.
Shawnee Warnie's bum-licking news.
Yeah, so Divine Mbama...
apparently it's Divine now.
Divine, is it? Who said it's Divine?
Which I don't... It, you know, conjures up images of Hugh Grant.
Well,
I prefer Divine.
Apparently... Oh, that's what Moyes calls him, Divine. Yeah, instead of Divin. His agent's forbidden him to meet David Sullivan on his own. Funny that, after he told the world that he was going to meet him on his own. They wouldn't let him meet. Look, I can't go into exact details, but they offered him a six-figure per week deal. They've offered him a generous appearance fee for every game he plays, either from the bench or starts. And they've offered him a pay rise every 10 Premier League starts.
I've heard it's not about money.
But he still says no. Well, maybe it's not. They still say they're not giving up. So they've said, look, if he goes this summer, if he goes abroad or to Scotland, same thing, we get €400,000. That's all we get, €400,000. Even though he's been with us since 8 and he's a West Ham fan born locally. If he goes to an English club, then the figure is set by tribunal. But again, it might be a couple of mil. It ain't going to be a lot of money. They are still confident. West Ham are still confident. They believe that... they know they need to come to an agreement.
It's
and
in their gift, isn't
on.
It?
It's in
their gift. If
they you say it, that, but we need to, they said we need to come to agreement and we'll carry on talking. We are confident we can get a deal done. However, right, if the agent really doesn't, will only get their big earning from going elsewhere, it's not in our gift, you know. Believe it or not, financial fair play, the percentage of we can spend to stay.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
In Europe, the percentage we can spend of our turnover gets harsher every season, and we're getting close to that, John.
We're getting close to completing the squad too.
They need to, yeah, exactly.
You can't, and if you do it to Divin, you've got to do it with all the other players. I mean, we're about talking about Callum Marshall.
Don't we sign Divin and he works out? We don't care.
But they want to sign Callum Marshall, the Irish guy, and he's just finished his first 1 year. I think he's...
That can't be a problem, surely. Well, please tell me that's not a problem.
We don't want... All of them are turning their heads and going elsewhere because they're agents. Yeah, but that, they want to get...
Do you think it's their agents and the money, or do you think it's the Moyes factor?
No, I think it's the agents.
I disagree.
Look, if it's the Moyes factor, you put them to one side, I think it's and you go, don't worry.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying. It's in their gift. They need to make a clear plan, get some stability in the club, and have a pathway forward for these young players to come through. If they were to make it clear to these lads' agents that the new manager coming in has got a proven history of bringing young players through at other clubs, or there's it's within their gift to make it not about
pathway. John, and maybe you're right.
If
it's not about money, I still think
that's
it's about
what
money.
Is.
But
well,
my speculation.
It's all speculation.
Talking
about
that. Money, Lucas O'Neill, West Ham ex captain, was spared jail.
Forgot he had some.
he found $3 million at the back of the sofa. So here's a guy who was earning $60,000 a week from West Ham in 2007. Biggest highest player at West Ham in 2007.
Yeah, when it Magnussen signed.
He basically joined some tax avoidance or tax efficient scheme, let's call it that, and he lost his money. He was made back. Hang on, let me finish before you be libelous. Which I hope you're not
you
be.
Were.
And so, a tax efficient scheme, he lost some money. He was made bankrupt, and he talked to the Times, and you can read it all. I'm not going to repeat it, but he basically, they found some money in an offshore account, which he allegedly...
and land they found as
and
well.
And land that he forgot
about. The fucking house.
Worth about $4 million.
I think he's been arsehole lucky.
And he's been spared jail. But he says... And I'm not here to criticise him, that he lives in a council or rented flat. He struggles to pay the council bill, and says it's all about family and not about money and fame anymore.
Where does he live?
Knightsbridge. I don't know.
Is he still in the UK then?
Yeah, I think so. He's an Australian though, isn't he? But yeah. I think he lives in the UK. Yeah,
he lives in Preston.
Oh, does he?
Yeah.
His wife is
steady.
Is a beautician.
Right.
And beautician is the right word. And apparently they live off his football pension, which is like not a lot, I think it's 1,800 or $2,000 a month. There you go.
Well, that's really interesting. Thanks for all of that.
Yeah. Yeah. No other news. I said the injuries. Bowen's got fluid on the knee. It's going to be drained out. Could be back for Palace. Could be back the game after that. So we're going to miss him against Topola or whatever they're called, the Serbian team.
And you thought Lucas Neal was more important than that. That was higher up the agenda.
Well, I've already talked about this. And Antonio's still crook. Probably about 4 weeks for his
crook.
Kneeling.
I thought that was Lucas Neal.
Crooked. Good. Anyway, should we do question time?
Yeah, come on.
I don't know how many listeners we've got now. 7 listeners get to ask us, the 3 remaining presenters, questions.
You got me to Christmas, everyone. And let's be honest, I'm no fucking burn the cribbins, am I, reading these out? Are we ready?
Yeah, we're ready.
Right. Top Fan AI Sean. I app gents. Brady out.
Brady out.
Very thank you. Thank you very much. Sean, you want to?
No, she's a very decent, hardworking young woman.
Jesus Christ.
I'll get this done quick.
Yeah,
a very disappointing performance versus Burnley. Yes, we managed to secure 3 points, but the same glaring deficiencies in Moyes' ball were plainly evident. That's not a bad point. The only positive was seeing Mbama get 30 odd minutes. That was a good point. That was good in getting 30 minutes, I must admit. We seem to be particularly poor after international breaks, so I'm not sure why Moyes doesn't give some of those who have not travelled halfway around the world a chance. The good news is there's only 215 days until Moyes' contract runs out. I don't think he wants Moyes to renew, by the sounds of it, eh, Sean? Is the entertainment value of Paqueta and Kudos enough to keep you watching avidly until the end of the season? For me, only just.
Well, we're saying we're going to watch anyway. We've got a podcast, but
I think the pair of them do pull it off, even like the bad games that they had the weekend. They're still match winners. They've still got it in them to win it.
So he does lose the ball a lot, doesn't he, Paqueta?
We need an attitude adjustment, really. Don't we? We all need an attitude adjustment.
Yeah.
I see Silky is upset. Nobody from the club said thank you to him for bringing us to check in Paqueta. Oh, sorry,
it's true.
Paqueta.
Yeah.
How would you have thanked him? Moyes out.
Well, paid his invoice, Moyes maybe. Which
didn't
we did.
Pay his invoice.
I mean, look, Silky loves the sound of his own voice. Maybe we should get him on the podcast, actually. Because I think we should ask him about this. So why don't we get him on between now and Christmas?
All right.
I'll give Silky a call, and why don't we bring him on?
Yeah.
You up for that, John?
If you want me there, he won't speak to you again after he spoke to me.
Why?
I'll fucking have him in fucking
knots. Silky. As long as you're talking about Silky, Silky's good.
Right. All right, you said it. Okay. Next up, Gareth Simpson. I'm not sure if he's new, but obviously his Delta Taikai name is Bart. I have to do these myself now. Brady out. Good start.
Brady out.
Pretty poor showing again, but a victory all the same. Is it times for Ings to fuck off out of our club? He's not the secretary, is he, the club? This guy, is he? He shows no energy or ambition to do anything. In fact, in the first half, I forgot he was on the pitch. I did as well, actually. I'm not sure he touched the ball, did he? On the positive, Mubama's first goal and some pitch time, but will Divering Dave give him a starting place and stop persisting with that twat Ings, who clearly doesn't want to be at West Ham? Brady out. That's a great poster.
Brady out.
So what do you think about that?
Who would want Ings, though? I mean,
I don't want an Ings bash, because I think Ings is a decent player, and I just don't think it works.
I mean,
yeah, I just don't think it works.
I mean, he had the opportunity to prove to his... didn't he play for
Burnley?
Yeah. To prove to his ex-club. I know he came from Villa at the end, but...
Nice Claret and Blue, didn't he?
Yeah, he does.
So, what about Mbama? Do you think he'd get more pitch time?
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
I hope so.
I mean, even Divering Dave has got to go. Actually, he did really well. I mean, he was making the excuse, oh, no, he said 17-year-old gets to play striker when he's 19, and no 19-year-old gets to regularly start as a striker in the Premier League. Well, who cares? You know, Michael Owen was, what, 16, 17? You know, if he's got the skill, play him.
Or if you haven't got any other options, play him.
Yeah.
Right, next up, Mick Clifford. He's back.
Loves a shirt, doesn't he?
Huh?
Loves a shirt or two.
Fucking hell, does he?
How does he get all those shirts?
I'd need to ask him.
That's right. I'm going to go, are you a millionaire, Mick? Because how do you afford? He's got like 1,000 shirts, and some of them don't come cheap. I know
some of them you think, why the fuck do you want that, Mick? Have you seen some of the shirts? You can name anyone on Twitter and he'll pull a shirt out.
Is he a lottery winner? Was he a very successful businessman who cashed in? Did he find some gold treasure from a pirate?
You're being very superficial. I want to know why psychologically he wants them.
Okay. All right. Well, let's get Mick. Mick approached me when he wanted to have a contact at the club shop. So I will reach out to Mick.
Is he a good podcast listener? It's a very visual thing. And he lives in Sweden. I think
he can talk about his shirts and where he got his Wonga from. He's a listener anyway. Hey, Mick. You don't have to tell me.
No.
Anyway. Right. Anywho.
What's your best away day balls up story? I remember getting to the ferry to Helsinki for the Jokerit away leg in the Inter Tubob. Got the wrong ferry going home and ended up in Riga, which ended up a good laugh. But the missus wasn't pleased as she had to go to work next day and I had, well, supposed to have the dustbin lids. Maybe it's not a good idea getting on the podcast. Yeah, if the stories are going to be like that. Maybe, yeah. Anyway, why can't the fan base just be satisfied? Actually, first of all, do you got an away day balls up story?
Yeah.
Other than come on, let's hear it, Sean.
Well, nothing on that level.
Well, no. But I think a funny story.
Thank
right?
for that.
Yeah. A funny story. George and myself went to Reading away once, and we had a few beers. Right, it was a point where George was quite young, and me and him just go on a few way. I don't know where you were, John, but we used to go on a few way. Days together, and we're in the championship. We were against Reading, and we get to Reading, right? We've had a few tins on there, and we missed the first half completely. We're still in Reading town centre, which is quite a way away from the stadium. We turn up to the stadium. I think we're losing like 3-0, and so we go in for a few minutes and then come out again and go back to Reading. And we completely miss our train home. And I forget how we got home, but we had to take... Because George, always what he does, he gets these multi-train tickets that are really cheap, right? But you've got to get like 15 trains to save the money. And if you don't get that particular train, then you're buggered. So
tell you
not
what.
Quite at the same level, but it was... It was a bit of a wasted day as well.
You talk to Mick and pre-record it, right? And then edit it down heavily. Be fucking ruthless.
Yeah, okay.
Right. Why can't the fan base just be satisfied with the away win without banging on the low block Moisat drum? Right. It's getting fucking boring. I think some of us are.
I agree with Mick, actually. He's been quite supportive.
The fan base, as in he's scrolling on Twitter.
It's very divisive.
Yeah. You're going to see the ones that are happy, Mick. They don't fucking say anything.
Yeah.
Next up, Paul Nolan. Beep, beep, chauffeur here.
Beep, beep.
Interesting that despite the awful football, Moyes has the best win record as West Ham manager. Ooh. So, yeah, shut up, Paul. Question is, would we be too quick to get rid of him? That's a tongue twister. Would we be too quick? Depends how we do,
yeah,
doesn't it?
Careful and what you wish for. I agree with
there,
Paul.
There must be things
careful
that we don't...
Careful what you wish for.
There might be things that we don't know.
It's just, in Stuyton, you've got to trust him.
Exactly. Trust in Timmy.
If he's not his first radio, is it? So let's hope he gets it all right.
You just got to try and, whatever the situation, for fuck's sake, just try and enjoy being a West Ham fan.
I've read part three of his question. I didn't know that. That's John out. There's a train strike on Sunday.
For fuck's sake. Fucking hell, Paul. Fancy breaking into us like that in a question.
Yeah, I didn't even
second
know
question
a train
is, right, first, let's get the dodgy bit out of the way first. Take a deep breath. Second question is, do you think Richard Dodds looked cold on match of the day? I know he is cracking on a bit, but so needs to be wrapped up in his weather.
Yeah,
I bet something else then.
He's quite old and
Yeah, he should take it more easy.
Yeah, yeah.
Finally, given a strange train strike this Sunday, how many do you think will attend? I am reversing.
I didn't know that. I hope it's not Southwest. We'll have to check that.
Three people have said, there's a train strike in a couple of weeks. I can't come down. And he's hit me with that. I'll see how we go.
Oh, it's almost like they don't want us to go to football.
Well, yeah. If it's going to look like that.
Day of action.
You look it up. I'll carry on. Next up, Steve Lyons. Jiggy Lyons. Evening, gents. And Sean. Hey. Hope you're all well. Once again, I think I'm the only one pleased with the result on Sunday. See, you're not, Steve. Yeah. I don't care how the wins come. 3 points away from home is just a bonus. Is the football great? Probably not. But I'd rather us play shite and win than play great and lose. Maybe it's because I don't attend games these days, but we're sat in the top 10 and doing all right in the cups too. This is true. I'd have taken that at the start of the season. I really do think Moyes gets too much of a rough ride, and some of the meltdowns during the game were laughable. What meltdowns during the game? How's there a meltdown during the game? Is he talking about Twitter again?
Probably.
My question to you all is, if you could have any realistic manager to replace Moyes, then who would it be, regardless of if he's sacked or sees out his contract?
Well, I would like to think that...
Yeah, I know what you're going to say, and I'm going to agree.
I would like to think that I don't know who our next manager would be, and Stuyton knows that, and he's got the right man lined up.
And I don't care about not knowing or having an opinion in that. I really don't. So it makes you wonder, given that me and John are like that, whether this criticism or over-focusing on Moyes is worth it, because it's going to happen. Kids.
Yeah, I'm not. I mean,
nothing to do with us.
I just accepted. It's just.
Yeah.
And you are still watch it. You are still going to do it. Just watch it. Just deal with it.
Yeah. Stop pointing your fingers at people who don't like Moyes. They're entitled to not like Moyes.
Yeah, that's all right.
You know, they're entitled to lose their nut and you want Moyes out and this, that, and the other. It's fucking fine. You know. It's
right. Train update.
Right.
Avanti West Coast, Cheltenham, Great Northern, Thames Link and West Midland trains are striking on the 3rd. It is on the 3rd, isn't it? But our line, Southwestern Trains, is not striking until the 6th of September, John. So we're
How about Greater Anglia Rebellion?
Greater Anglia?
I mean, I can find a different way anyway. I've got no fucking excuse. I've got to fucking turn up.
Yeah, no.
I wish they would strike.
Really? No, we're
I'll see you in the morning. I'll see first thing on match day morning.
Come on, we want to see you.
I'll go. You know I'll go. If you go in and you're getting down here, I'll go.
Yeah. Cool.
Right. Well, as always, thanks, lads, for the easy listening on delivery. I'm not sure about that. And remember to make the podcast longer for me over the next few days as it gets busier and I'm out longer. Krutinski and Brady out.
Brady out.
Thank you very much.
Leave them both alone.
Oh, fucking hell. Right. Next up, top fan, Grant Coxton, the boy Chester Hammer. Evening, gents. What do you think was better, playing attacking and exciting football in defeat to Brentford? I can't remember the Brentford game already. Or still in a late win after playing poorly against Burnley. But what do you two think? What did you prefer? I'm not even sure. I shouldn't even insult you by asking, should I?
I can't even remember that performance. That's how entertaining it was. Can't. But yeah.
There's no point asking, Sean.
What was the question?
What did you prefer? The playing, attacking, exciting football against Brentford or stealing a late win, playing poorly?
Stealing a late win. Beep, beep. Yep.
Right.
Was that Cheeky Lyons?
No, this is... We've moved on from Cheeky Lyons while you were looking up the trains. We're on Grant Croxford now.
Grant Croxford.
It was a wet and freezing cold cycle home from work this evening. How many steps would it take to make that Moyes' fault? Sullivan out, Brady out, Hammers in. That's a new
Brady
one.
Out.
Brady out.
Brady out.
Ian Gravitt, great show, gents. Nice to get a win. It is. Well, it the is. Second bit is. Loves it's nice to get squirrel. A win, not the great show bit. However, it's not a show anyway. However, we do always concede straight away from the half-time interval.
Yeah.
Why do we always concede straight
away?
It's
what we do. That, don't it's we? Our thing.
Do you know what I think?
Go on.
I think Moyes might be very influential over them players, and they come out and they're very rigid. They stick to their.
You're saying they're stiff.
Well, I'm saying that they're drilled, and they come out pumped up,
and
they just go straight through us. That's my opinion of it. I'm not a football manager. Is it Moyes boring him to sleep? I thought he was a defensive-minded manager. Yeah, we could talk about that. We've got away with it a few times this season. There probably won't be any point of signing yet another striker because Moyes won't play them. Or we'll leave it 3 or more weeks before he deems them ready. But by then, the confidence will already be drained out. I mean, look at Paquetá and Kudos now. Both midfield playmakers, but he has them stuck out on the wing. Yet Benrahma and Cornet are still sat on the bench. Brady out. So Ian Brady don't out. Sound too happy with the management.
Right.
Well, do you know, sometimes what I like about Question Time, Ian reminds me that we've got players like Cornet. I forgot about him.
I think he's a wasted resource.
Well,
I think he should be getting a game.
I still feel he's got this niggling injury which he has to have special training.
He shouldn't be on the bench then, should he? If he's not fit. He ain't a shit player. He's a decent player. And
I think there's rumours today about Benrahma will be off in the summer as well because he's just not getting enough game time.
Well, a lot of players are going to be off. Or will they?
Ooh.
There's so many new pages that need to be turned at the club, isn't there?
Yeah.
We do keep coming back to Moyes a lot.
Thank God, because otherwise we'd have nothing to talk about on this podcast.
Well, yeah, if you like. Right, Ryan Doyle, we've become the regulars there, Ryan. Do you think it is strange that one of our most successful managers ever isn't adored by the fan base, me being one of them? I just can't take him. Is it the football he plays or the stubbornness of who he decides to play? Prime example, start innings when 99% of the fan plays, Noman Barmer would be better. Well, my mum would be better, actually, in innings, probably. Sunday was the old narrative of a win's a win, but let's not pretend that we didn't get outplayed by the bottom of the league team for 85 minutes. That's a good post, isn't it? Don't you think that's good?
I think it's both of those things. I think it's the football and the stubbornness. He doesn't endear, does he?
But there you go, Ryan. I want to highlight Ryan's point here. All you fucking social media freaks and YouTube crawlers, not in a sycophantic sense, I mean going from one opinion to another. Listen to what Ryan says. I'm going to read it out again.
Go on. Right?
Do you find it strange that one of our most successful managers ever, right, and Sean's keeps putting the stats out.
Not one of our, the most successful, let's be clear.
I like Ryan's point because you've got to give, you know, different circumstances. Ryan's being fair, right? One of our most successful managers ever isn't adored by the fan base, me being one of them. Yeah. I just can't take him. Can't argue with him, can you? Yeah. He's being fair. He's saying he's one of the best ever. But what he's just saying is, my eyes don't just fucking love it. I get this when I walk into galleries. It's like a fucking Mark Rothko. Geezer's a cunt. Geezer just fucking paints fucking red things. And he reckons people like me are going to feel things. And it's the same watching the Moyes game. People was thinking, what's this Geezer doing? He's doing nothing. Other people think, oh, he's great. Mark, do you know Rothko's go for like 70 million quid? literally a fucking painted panel. This is it, isn't it? Maybe you should stop, you know, going on about football and start going on about art a bit. Anyway, I think Ryan's nailed it there. Anyway, but, sorry for the C-bomb, but Rothko does that to me.
You know, weren't there people that called for Johnny Lyle to be sacked and we didn't know until we lost him? You know, he got us relegated and then were people saying we need new thoughts, we need a new manager and wanted Johnny Lyle out. True or false?
Yes, true, but, you know, that didn't mean to say it couldn't have been handled better early on and the structure of it done better.
What I'm saying is be careful what you wish for.
Next up, Charlie Cooper. Evening all, I think a lot of us are grateful to Moyes for what he has achieved, but don't see him as the manager to take us forward. Fair point. I don't know why I should be fucking grateful though. I don't like this gratitude to fucking footballers and managers. What would he need to do this season for you to want him to get a new contract? Or if you already want him to stay, when does it become a case of enough is enough? Who wants to answer that one? John?
I just, you know, he's got to win something to stay, and that's it.
Yeah, I answered that already. Yeah. Right, he's got to win one of the three competitions
to stay.
He adds, cheers, Brady out.
Brady out.
I wonder what... I mean, he's asking what it takes to sort of for him to stay. But I'd like to ask some fans what it would take to sort of how bad it would have to get and for you not to enjoy things for you to stop going. I'd like to ask that to a few people. Maybe they can.
I can tell you what that is. Yeah, that is playing really shit football and then moving you from your home and taking you to an athletic stadium. Yeah. That's what made me stop going.
Yeah.
But back
about
again.
How far Moyes has got? Is it?
It's not the.
He's not going to stop, you know.
The football, it won't stay Moyes ball forever, will it? It just won't.
What? Won't stay Moyes ball with Moyes or?
No, yeah, Moyes will be gone, won't he? What? He won't.
There's Moyes, there'll always be Moyes ball. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, it seems that way, doesn't it? He doesn't seem to be able to be expansive or play many other ways. Or when he tries, we don't win.
Yeah. Right. Next up, Jason Backhouse, man of the 70s. Evening, gents. Quick question tonight. We do like them, Jason. Would he miss Souček if he left? And would we fear him if he played against us? I think I'd fear him, you know, typically, if he played against us. But I think if he left, I think there's a lot of Souček-style players that we could replace him with Tim in charge.
Yeah, if there's a better option.
Yeah. I think we'd remember him fondly, though, if he did.
Yeah,
leave.
I do. Yeah.
Right. Next up, Barry Meikle. Missed out last week, but I wanted to say congrats to the under-21s for winning their group in the EFL Trophy.
Oh, didn't know that.
Nah. Thought we robbed the 3 points on Saturday. No one would disagree with you, Barry. Question. Are yous lot convinced that had the on-field decision for Kufel's challenge on Kolesho being a penalty, VAR would have not overturned it? I'm absolutely certain. It looked stonewall to me. A guy that didn't make any attempt to tackle the ball, turn his arse towards the player and stick his fucking leg out, of which he made contact with, and went over. I am absolutely fucking stunned with it. if he would have gave the penalty, I think that might have kicked us up in the arse. But a concerning thing is, every single team in the league knows the tactic is to run at Souček.
Souček.
He must be due a fucking ban soon. Or has he come back from one?
Don't know.
Right, anyway. In my mind, it's either a pen or it's not. Why should the rest of the original decision dictate what VAR decides? Brady out.
Brady out.
I'm happy with the Brady outs this evening. Are you? Let's see how many more.
There's been a few.
It's been good. It's been good. I'm happy with the Brady outs. Let me just check how many questions we have left. And I think oh, Dodds is coming fucking last minute again. Would you believe it?
Yeah, Dodds is a last.
Just don't fucking Suchek, not Goofal. All right, my handsomes, how's yous doing? Well, we deserved absolutely nothing from that game, and by the last 10 minutes and 8 minutes of injury time, we were awful. But who gives a shit? We got the 3 points, and like Robin Hood, we rode off into the sunset. So here we go with the questions for your delight, especially Len. Do you think the away crowd singing Divin Mubama's name for 15 minutes solid before he came on influenced David Moyes at all?
No.
No.
I don't think anything. He doesn't hear that, but when he hears you don't know what you're doing, he will run up to you, Dodsy, with his chest puffed out, which is really ridiculous. Is Pekotar a done deal in January to Man City?
No.
I don't think so either.
It won't. The investigation won't even finish in January, so it's just
I heard they lost
story.
The files.
Well, what do you mean? Me that? There are no files. There are no files. You know, the guy, there is no evidence. There's no files because there's no evidence. I mean, let's just be clear for people who don't know. This happened because an automated system that is used by the bookies raised a suspicious betting activity. That
in
was
the
raised
island of Pekotar.
To FIFA, right?
That, in the island of Pekotar.
Yeah.
That, on a...
On Betway, funny enough.
Yeah, but you can...
But that went to FIFA. FIFA... told the FA. The FA started an investigation. They've interviewed him, but he says, I'm completely innocent. I don't bet. I don't know any people who bet. I've got no interest in betting, right? So unlike any of the other things, there is no case to be heard because unless they've got evidence that he colluded...
But it won't be dealt with, will it, before
it won't
Christmas?
Be dealt with before
and
January.
So
correct.
He won't be gone in January. Yeah. Yeah. Right.
Right.
Go on.
When, in your opinion, is it too early to put the Christmas decorations inside?
Anytime
before fucking
December. Yes. Anytime before December.
Well, I've got to tell a story that for Americans, traditionally they put it up
after Thanksgiving.
After Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
So ads are already up and in fact,
Yeah. They make fucking loads of noise on Zoom calls as well, Americans. I don't know if you fucking noticed that.
Yeah.
Fucking especially when my ears are. What's your favourite film of all time? What the fuck is this, Dodsy? Fuck's sake. What is it?
Apocalypse Now. Yeah. You know that, John, don't you?
John?
Yeah, no. There's like Apocalypse Now, watch more than most, dear, aren't we? Watch more than most. Then we went, The Wall, Pink Floyd, The Wall, we watched loads. Yeah. It's just loads.
I fucking love all of them.
I love the smell of napalm in the morning.
Yeah.
Smells like David Moyes' victory.
Saigon. Shit. Still only in Saigon.
I'd need more time to think of my favourite film of all time. But,
Brady out.
Brady out.
Schindler's List or something. You know, really arty. You know?
Everybody's second team. Next up. They're coming now. They're at us.
Oh, I thought that was it now.
I've got two more. There's two more. I've got Chris Saville. So I like the way this one starts. Last week, Sean said we had no money due to FFP. We've had one transfer window where Moyes splashed the cash. Every other window we spent either little, nothing, or made a profit. How come we have spent too much? And sold a player for 100 million, Chris Saville. Brady out.
It's all in Brady accounts. Out. What's his name?
Chris Saville.
Chris. Look, I could explain. The money's not going anywhere else. Honestly, we overspent 2 summers ago, and we spent a lot this summer. That's the reason. Full stop. We spent the money before he had it for Rice as well. Carry on.
Last up, Martin Rowe, evening all. Great to see Mbama get his chance on Saturday and doing well. Newcastle have three academy players in this squad versus Chelsea, including one of our former academy players, Diallo. I didn't know he went there. Diallo?
Yeah.
Should we do more to keep our young prospects?
Well, yes. Well,
yes, we should.
Yeah, but not at any price, John.
No, not at any price. But, no, but
if you,
you should
use
be
them
a
earlier,
clear pathways... And clear pathways
to
see that they should be have the opportunity to show. And yeah. then they, after they've had a few opportunities and they don't show, then they
exactly.
don't want to pay the money, then they yeah. can go wherever if they think they're too good.
Right. Predictions for Super right. Six. John.
Yes.
Well, no, actually, you're going to go last because you're winning. Okay. Len. Topola. Backer, whatever they're called. TSC.
Oh, Topola.
And
oh,
then
we'll beat them.
And then,
I think we'll beat them 2-0.
2-0 West Ham. Win for yeah. Topola away.
Palace.
Yeah.
Right. I think we're going to lose 2-1. I think it's a terrible time to play Palace.
Okay.
They're off the back of a fucking humiliating against fucking Luton.
Right. Got two massive injuries, don't
they?
John. Oh, fuck. John. I forgot the injuries.
Yeah. Anyway, you've called it now.
Yeah, too late. Go on, John.
3-1, we're going to beat Bacala, whatever's.
So Topola, yeah, John, JB.
We are going to draw 1-1 with Palace. Ooh.
You don't sound confident either.
No, I don't.
That's because he's going.
Now, yeah. I regretted this, but I'm going to go 1-0 win, 1-0. Yeah, I'm going to go 1-0 win for both of these.
Yeah. What's the point of this competition? Just give fucking John the trophy now.
Well, you never know. I'm playing... strategically
playing the long game.
I'm playing the long game. Look, that's all the time we've got. We've actually spoke for an hour and a half, and yeah. You know, hopefully post is that's not too bad. Well, 74 minutes to be precise. I've been Sean. John has been
waiting for me dinner,
and Canning Town Len has been
a little bit better with question time.
There you go.
Hey.
Back next week after two games. Come on, you Irons.
Bobby Moore. More than just a podcast. Bobby Moore. More than just a podcast.